Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
Quick disclosure, this podcast is for informational purposes only. Nothing I say constitutes direct investment advice or recommendation to buy or sell any securities. It represents my personal views at the time of the recording, and markets may perform differently than I expect. All investment involves risk, including loss of principal. With that said, let's get into it.
So, is this a good opportunity to deploy some of our significant cash reserves that we have been waiting to deploy after a significant pullback occurred, so that we can further participate in whatever is left of this bull market? Or is this the beginning of the protracted and deep contraction I have been predicting? Was last Friday's absolute collapse the beginning of a bear market and the grand reconciliation of asset prices? Or was it just a healthy and well-needed correction from a massively overbought and record-setting condition? I'm going to walk you through my clear answer to that question, as well as the reasoning behind my conclusion. It is plainly obvious that there is no headline recession happening right now. Again, why do we care about that? Recessions and credit crises are when we have problems, big problems in the market, when they can drop 30, 40, 50% for a very long time. Weeks, months, years, not just days. No recession yet. This is true even though most of the nation's citizens have been in a recession for almost 4 years. There's no earnings recession. Hence, the only other condition that would lead to a bear market is a credit crisis. So is that happening now? No. Not based on the absolute abundance of liquidity flows, the very tight credit spreads, and relatively easy financial conditions. Hence, there is no imminent reason for a protracted bear market to occur. And that's where I can protect and profit from, not from ordinary periods of volatility. Nobody can do that. Nothing. And nobody can ever prevent the stock market, because it's not the supermarket, it's the stock market. Prices go up, prices go down. It's the recessions and credit crises, the big protracted drawdowns that we have to worry about. However, a recession and credit crisis is still ahead of us, and here's just a couple of data points that prove that conclusion. The U.S. personal savings rate has now plunged to a meager 2.6%. That is down from 5.5% a year ago, 6.8% pre-COVID, and from 32% during the peak of the pandemic-related stimulus. So that's 32% to 2.6%. The consumer is running out of savings to continue their consumption habits. And according to New York Fed, the number of Americans who don't even have enough food to eat is up to 10%, and that is from 4% back in just 2020, a handful of years ago. By the way, this survey about how many Americans can't, 1 out of 10, can't even put food on the table, was taken prior to this latest surge of inflation resulting from the war in Iran. Yep. Like I said, unfortunately and sadly, many Americans have been in a recession for years. It's just the top quintile who have been basking in the glow of asset bubbles, which are lately starting to fade. It isn't any mystery as to why consumer sentiment is the dourest on record. The U.S. inflation rate is the highest since 1992, if you strip out the COVID pandemic inflation. Meanwhile, Wall Street is busy deriving faulty conclusions from spurious data points like the blowout job numbers, just so they can keep you thinking to be perpetually bullish. It's not working. Case in point, the latest non-farm payroll report. Payroll growth in May was 172,000 jobs. Now, never mind that 55,000 of those new jobs were for local government workers, and 70,000 of those jobs, 70, were for leisure and hospitality jobs related to the World Cup. In any case, it was a much better number than the 88,000 jobs that were expected, so Wall Street was celebrating a great economy. Economy's not in a recession, but it's not great. And this number helped fuel speculation of a rate hike this year. Now, remember, at the start of this year, the Fed was, you know, supposed to cut two or three times, especially because we're getting President Trump's own man, Kevin Warsh, now leading the central bank. But even though I don't think the Fed will raise rates this year, I really don't think that's going to happen. That does not mean the road ahead is clear. The long end of the yield curve must react to and will continue to respond to rising inflation. Yields could soon rise to the point that brings the economy and markets to a breaking point. Rapidly and sharply rising rates in the money markets are, after all, the classic symptom of a burgeoning credit crisis. This is how the next genuine crisis should unfold. The massive amount of AI spending is now being done with debt. It's all part and parcel of the massive credit bubble that I've been talking about. Credit bubble is going to pop. That's going to cause the real estate and stock market to collapse. Excuse me. Rising borrowing costs will eventually put a cap on, if you will, CapEx spending. This would pop the AI investment bubble, which will pop the earnings and stock bubble, which will in turn absolutely devastate the market and economy. The closure of the Strait of Hormuz is exacerbating the inflation problem and could be a catalyst that kickstarts this process. To make matters worse, there is now, I believe, just a few weeks, maybe a month or so, few weeks remaining until oil inventories are sufficiently depleted to the point where oil should see another significant spike higher. Spiking oil sends inflation higher, causing yields to rise even higher, which in turn leads to a market plunge. Now, the interesting thing is that while the non-farm payroll report did spook equity traders' inflation fears and thus send Fed rate hike probabilities along with bond yields higher, it did not cause oil to rise. In fact, oil prices fell sharply on Friday, along with five-year forward inflation expectations. They fell. If the Strait of is to remain closed and oil is about to surge, then why are inflation expectations falling along with commodity prices? That doesn't make any sense. So please try to follow this logic because it will give you crucial insight to how my inflation, deflation, and economic cycle model functions. If commodities were falling, like they are now, most commodities, ahead of an imminent drop of demand, that would make sense. And that would get me on the short side. Such an attenuation in growth would have been preceded by tightening financial conditions and widening credit spreads. Always, that always happens, never not happens. However, with credit spreads and financial conditions behaving well, which are in the vanguard of warning about economic stress, the conclusion is this correction is most likely resulting from these two things. The raising of capital for the massive $1.75 trillion SpaceX IPO on Friday, 2 days away, and you have to sell on Thursday to have the money available for Friday. So we might have one more day of this. I don't know. Maybe today was the last day. That selling is taking place, selling for the IPO is taking place in the context of an incredibly overvalued market that has been long overdue for a decline anyway. That is what I think is happening. It is not a credit crisis, as I said. It is not a recession. But please understand, this period of relative quiescence should not last long. Again, it is only temporary. The grand reconciliation of asset prices must and will occur. I am keenly focused on the following as my cue to where I change my mind from saying, okay, this is a buying opportunity. I'm going to use some of the cash we've so smartly saved for this opportunity, to one where I'm just going to jump on board the four horsemen of the economic apocalypse. If oil begins to turn higher, above $110 a barrel, once again, and bond yields rise significantly, and by significantly, I mean benchmark treasury rates approach 5%, that will mean there will be no resolution to the war that is made in time to stop chaos in markets from happening. Also, if credit spreads widen and financial conditions begin to tighten, the ones that I monitor in my model, it will mean that irreversible damage to the economy has already been done and the great reconciliation has begun. In either of those cases, if either one of those conditions are met, I will very quickly liquidate most, if not all, of my long positions and short the market. Going long just the US dollar, cash, T-bills, and shorts. That's it. Short the market, cash, dollar, T-bills, which are the only assets that appreciate once everything else turns to a correlation of one during a liquidity event. If you want a good example of the magnitude of this bubble and how far we will eventually fall, listen to this. Over 50% of the S&P 500 market cap trades at over 10 times sales. This is what CEO Scott McNeely had to say about that very same situation after his stock, Sun Microsystems, lost 90% of its value during the 2000 tech wreck. Quote, at 10 times revenue, to give you a 10-year payback, I would have to pay you 100% of revenues for 10 straight years, zero costs, zero taxes, zero employees. What were you thinking? Close quote. That's where we are today in the S&P 500. That's how much this market is going to crash when it's time for it to crash. And I don't think it's now. And I am no Pollyanna. When the chaos really does arrive, you will see more days like we witnessed this past few days, where the S&P drops by 4%, the Korean stock exchange plunged 8%, the semiconductor index craters 10%, and circuit breakers are triggered and markets close. For the Korean stock market closed, stop trading. My plan of action is to not only avoid those catastrophes that are in the not too distant future, but to profit from them. And it has been laid out plainly for all. My clients have nothing to fear because the inflation, deflation, and economic cycle model gives us both the warning signals and a specific plan of action. That is the advantage of having a long, short strategy, not a buy and hold one. Unfortunately, the passively managed pigeons are going to get plucked. Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.